Mrs. Murphy's chowder. Nobody spoke, so he shouted all the louder. It's an Irish.
You probably don't want to find overalls floating in your soup, but overalls are virtually everywhere else, from country farms to suburban classrooms to city streets. Overalls tell a story about American class and culture, and they've taken many forms, though a drop seat version invented in the 20s never really caught on. As part of the series Present at the Creation, NPR's Netta Ulaby explains how overalls developed into an American icon.
Bib overalls emerged from history's murky depths without a mother or father. Sandra Ross Altman is a costume historian.
They go back to the 18th century, only they're called something different. I believe they're called slops.
They're a unique style of dress. They're instantly recognizable. Most of them were originally manufactured in small towns across the upland South.
Charles Wolfe teaches folklore and popular culture at Middle Tennessee State University. He says overalls, or happy jims, were among the first mass-produced clothing. Worn primarily by slaves and sharecroppers, overalls were memorialized by Delta bluesman Robert Johnson.
A woman is like a dresser, some man's always ramming through his drawer. It costs so many men when apron overhaul.
Nan Enstead is an American history professor.
They didn't fit well. They were made of coarse and durable cloth. They were cheap, and they definitely marked the status of the people who wore them. They were low-status clothing and carried a stigma.
But it didn't take long for skilled tradesmen to see their value and make improvements. They added darts and custom pockets for watches, rulers, and pens.
And the colors were also standardized by the mid-19th century.
Sandra Ross Altman.
The painters and plasterers were wearing white. The farmers were wearing blue or brown.
Dirty work called for angled pockets and hardy denim. Carpenters added the hammer loop. Sturdy buckles, clasps, and vest backs made overalls ideal for industry. In 1910, crusading journalist Anna Louise Strong applauded factory women for wearing overalls.
When the army called away the men, women workers took their places in the factory. And because it was dangerous to wear loose clothing near machinery, the women left off skirts and took to overalls.
Long before Rosie the Riveter, movies during World War I celebrated women in overalls. Nan Enstead.
There's one movie that was released serially called Hazards of Helen, where Helen, the heroine, she was a railroad girl. She worked for a railroad, and she was perpetually getting into adventures because robbers would plot to crash the trains, and she would go out and save the day. So she would inevitably be running on the tops of the trains to prevent a crash, and she was always pulling on a pair of overalls to go do that.
And not just any overalls. Hickory-striped overalls. Researcher Ann Hemken says railway workers sported a number of pinstriped patterns.
There's the Liberty stripe, which has a light background. There was the Express stripe, which was even stripes of light and dark. And there was a Wabash stripe, which kind of makes you think of the Wabash cannonball.
You can wash my pair of dirty overalls. I'll ride that train you call cannonball from
country cousin of those dashing railroad stripes were plain old blue bibs. Charles Wolfe says that for years, a company called Duckhead Overalls was one of the leading sponsors of the Grand Ole Opry.
Well, the overalls, even in the 1920s, had become a symbol of the American rural life. I guess ever since Grant Wood painted his famous picture, American Gothic, people have tended to associate overalls with farmers. So if you were doing a Grand Ole Opry show in which you were pretending that all the musicians were coming right off the farm with straws between their teeth, then you had to have them dressed up in overalls.
Overalls projected a powerful image, and not just in country music. In some ways, they still kept people in their place. Nan Enstead.
I was thinking about the Otis Redding song, you know, where she says, Otis, your country.
You know what, Otis?
What?
Your country.
That's all right.
You straight from the Georgia woods.
That's good.
You know what? You wear overalls. A big old broke-eyed shoes.
They're playing the dozens. And he counters, you know, I'm a love man. I've got 16 Cadillacs. And, you know, and I think that is part of why overalls mean so much. Once you set up a piece of clothing as marking status so strongly as overalls did.
Later on, when country music developed that wonderful variety show called Hee Haw, overalls were the costume that everybody wore.
I never picked cotton, but my mother did, and my brother did, and my sister did, and my daddy died young, working in a coal mine.
And you have this ludicrous situation where people like Buck Owens and Grandpa Jones and Roy Clark and these major country music stars that have millions of dollars to their name are dressing up in bib overalls.
And today, some hip-hop artists wear overalls and make more money than, you know, most people can even dream of, which is a great way of getting the last laugh, in a sense.
Overall country, overall team. Overall Doja, we overall clean. Southern hospitality, you overall mean. Overall triple, overall beam.
So overalls have been redefined by the very people that were either excluded from them, like women, or stigmatized by them, you know, working class people.
They become a kind of ironic commentary. It becomes a kind of a badge of association with a certain set of values.
Overalls are class-jumping clothes, and they're coming-of-age clothes, what toddlers learn to walk in. Overalls are designed now with pockets for cell phones, and they retail for hundreds of dollars. Yet they're worn by offshore factory workers who stitch together the fancy versions. Overalls are play clothes, work clothes, and protest clothes. In short, they're comfortable enough to fit a nation's worth of experience inside. Netta Ulaby, NPR News, Washington.
Carry me